Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about your experiences, existential, esoteric, philosophical, physical, even spiritual. What's going on these days? So many times people are saying, I have no clue. Things are all around outside of me, and people are having conversations, and I'm thinking everybody's going crazy. What are they talking about? I'm still where I am. And still others are saying, you know what? I am so open and free and being able to experience everything, I simply cannot go back to the old way it was. What we're talking about today is how our soul is expanding. It's how our life is exploring so much more around us. How we can see this new journey that we are on, and how can we say, how can I find others to be able to share my stories, and how can I engage in conversations that seem to just take us on this metaphysical journey, and we're going, I don't know where I'm going, but it is so cool, and I can't wait to get on that bus. Today, my guest is Kathy Pickett. Her book is On Becoming You. You are a powerful being of light. All is within you. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Jeanette. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to talking with you today.
Oh, and you as well. And Kathy, your book, right out from the get-go, when it says talking to souls, I'm going, oh, this is my kind. We're good. We're going to have a great talk. You know, I can remember, you know, when I was very young, we had a cemetery next door, and then there was a funeral home next to that. And I would always go in the cemetery, and I would just lay down in the tombstones, you know, and underneath the trees and fall asleep. I'm sure I journeyed so many times. Don't you think we say, how did we engage in the soul, and what does that look like? Or what are we really even talking about? Do you think the word soul scares some people?
Well, I think it's unfamiliar. And anytime it's unfamiliar, the unknown can bring up certain, you know, frequencies and reactions within the body that are unfamiliar. And I think that's kind of the trigger, that people don't know what to do with that information that they're receiving from, because the soul within them is awakening. Even when they say the word, it's an interesting energy connection. Right. And they don't know what to do with it, because they haven't had practice, people to lead them, or they haven't trusted their own intuition to guide them into their soul. So, yeah, I think it can scare some people.
Don't you think now in the year 2020, we look at it and we say, wow, we're starting to have these conversations about my past, and I'm looking back and I'll say, oh, yeah, I used to do that. I noticed something, and we're now being able to connect the dots. And truly what that is we're now at a different frequency where our past lives, our past, and all of the things in which we can engage in the world, we're seeing with newer eyes. As this starts to expand to others around us, we're saying, oh, cool. I remember someone was telling me 2 years ago something, and I didn't kind of pay attention, but I'm going to go back and look it up. Don't you think we're finding that a lot now?
Oh, I think that we are opening the door. People
right.
are seeing that there is a way that they can talk about things. And you know from your practice how many people have told you things that they've said, I never told anyone that. Because
right.
they had some fear inside that people would think they were making it up or wacky woo-woo or crazy or it really doesn't mean anything. It just came from your head. It's all in your head kind of thing. So people bury a lot of those experiences because they don't have the framework to talk about it or the language to talk about it or the people to listen. So
right.
I think you're right. I think there is the energy of the earth is rising. The frequency of the earth is changing. And I think that people are moving with that frequency into another space where they can hear their own inner, all the things you've mentioned, the past life, this life, previous experiences, all exist in the energy field. All that information is within reach. It's within them and around them. That's why I say all, you know, powerful being of light, all
right.
is within you, because it's awakening to the knowledge that is already there. It's not some external force that they're learning from. They're learning from the inside out. So it's, I think a lot more people want it now. They're aware
right.
of it, and they're asking for it.
I think now as we come into the new year, we say, this is so exciting. And we have this little feeling. It's almost like a little, some people want to quantify it as a little brush with anxiety. I say, oh, no, that is just your soul. It's turning on all its headlights. It's shooting off fireworks. It's saying, here we go. And I think kind of the year is going to be a real explosion of people saying, there's so much more out there. Get, you know, I want to engage in it. And all of the old paradigms will start to drift away. And I think also, too, you know, as I work a lot with elders at end of life, they're really trying to grasp for this at this point. They're saying, I know there's more, I know there's more, I know there's more. Can I stay a little longer? And they want to add another year or two onto their life to be able to catch into this momentous change. And others are saying, I'm ready to shed all this old stuff because when I come back, I'm ready for the new game. Don't you think if we're able to say, can we change our concepts of how we believe life, death, evolution, all of our existences show up to us and say, is it time to write a new book? Is it time to use a new language? Or perhaps the language is only of our soul and our heart frequency, and we don't have to worry about the words. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, my goodness. You've triggered so much inside of me that I want to share, because you've touched on so many different aspects of the soul. And for me, I really began speaking about the afterlife and helping with transitions. I started with the hospice and VNA in the 90s, so that's where I started my work. I did a lot of work with transitions as a nurse. That's what people were interested in, Dr. Jeanette. So
right.
I was able to kind of, that was my doorway. You want to know about spirit, you want to know about the afterlife, you want to connect with a deceased loved one, you want to know where they are and what they're doing. For me to come in and say, you are a spirit now, you are here now. And for me, the awakening is where we are now and what's available to us. And the whole relationship to spirit, mother, father, daughter, son, it's not the same in the spirit world.
Right.
In fact, the whole concept of Earth and the physical being of right, wrong, good, bad, light, dark,
mm-hmm.
it all exists at the same time. And
yeah.
I think that's what people are beginning to understand, that we are beyond our physical bodies and we have more to experience. And there's more that we can bring into our physical reality to help advance our souls and each other. When I speak to souls, people would say, oh, you can speak to the afterlife. How can you do that? And I'm like, well, it just happens. It's just something that's there for me. And
mm-hmm.
what was interesting is that I soon realized doing the energy work that all souls speak, dead, alive, incarnate, all souls are alive. All souls are vibrating information out into the field. So we're
mm-hmm.
already communicating as spirits. We just haven't recognized how we're communicating as spirit and how to learn to collaborate with the universe, which is the energy that you're talking about. It's expanding. How do we collaborate with this rising frequency of the Earth? And there are ways to do it. There are ways. It's safe. It's interesting. It's fun.
Right.
You know. Do you find that too? That
yeah.
it can be fun?
Right. Well, you know what? Also, too, you know, just as you share about how your work started, mine, you know, I can remember 17. Actually, I was 16, and I was babysitting for they called them blue babies at the time. I'm sure you know that phrase. And
mm-hmm.
and then also, you know, I was on weekends, it was volunteering at the local, they used to call them the homes. that was where children who were affected by vaccinations or drugs or had mental health conditions to various extremes were in these homes, and that's where they lived. So I would always go there every weekend, you know, to volunteer there. And I kind of then I went, and I think I was 18, and I was in the morgue for 6 months working, and I'm going, okay, you know. And then I went to a Jesuit college, and you know, and as my life played out, I look at different aspects of it, and I say, what was purpose therein? And truly, I never had a separation of, I'm healthy, you're not, I'm alive, you're not, you know, those different things. It just never fazed me. I don't know why. It just didn't. But, you know, when we work with, you know, people that had disabilities, it was like, okay, cool, they're just like regular people, and that's how I saw them. You know, but I also learned that some people didn't see it that way. And I saw how people treated them and how it was so, it just didn't feel right to me, you know. And then when you go into the morgue and you're going, well, okay, cool, this is just a body, it's a vehicle. Okay, got it. And that was just the job, you know. And I think sometimes people will say, but this is my only life. This is my only body. I have to be in perfection. I have to fix everything that's wrong so that I can hold this space. And truly what you and I are saying is that is the biggest illusion that humans have concocted on society. That is not at all. I mean, that can just go poof in the night, don't you think, that concept?
Oh, my goodness gracious, absolutely. It's interesting. You know, you worked in a morgue, and, you know, I was in college. I read so much on death and dying. I went to the first hospice in the country. It was in Connecticut at the time, in Brantford. This was 74, I think, when, you know, very early, young person. I was very comfortable and very fluid. And, you know, so many people tell me, but it's easy for you because you could do it all your life. We don't have the same references that you do. It's harder for us. And so I'm always having to reflect back that I am different because I trust myself. I trust the information I receive, and I don't qualify it as right or wrong. And I think when people are trying to get it right and they're so focused on what is going to happen with it that they distort the information that they receive. And when you just let the energy flow through you and receive it and trust that what your experience is your experience and that you learn from it, and it's not the end. It's a pathway. It's a journey. It's flows. And for some reason, I had that as a child, and I've always had it. I've always trusted me. And I, you know, people would say this is right and wrong, and I'm like, oh, it seems so gray to me. There's a spectrum. There's, you know, it's not. I think part of the humanness that we have is this, you know. I was raised in the 50s, right, in the 60s, and, you know, there was a right way to do things, and there was a lot of this emphasis on
perfection.
Rules and regulations and perfection, which perfection, as we know, is an illusion and an impossibility because it's a moving target. People are always trying to make something better versus really basking in the energy of what they're feeling in the moment.
Right.
Because there's healing always available to us. And I tell people we're always healing. Cells die and are reborn every second. We are always healing. We're already healing. And it's about how do we work with that process. It's how do we collaborate with the natural process of healing. And so I imagine you find that as well with people, right?
And you know what's interesting, too, is that a lot of people will say, but I've had so much trauma and hardship in my life. And I'll say, fantastic, because you're on the other side of it. You're standing up now, aren't you? That's your past story. That's in the notebook with the big bow on it on your shelf. You know, it doesn't drive your bus today. It may be an imprint in your life today, but it's a story you can share. And then your choice now at the moment is, do I share it so I tether the pain and bring the pain forth every day, or do I just share it as something that has been in my past? In other words, it's been in my chain, or it's been somewhere along my process of my evolution. And oh, cool. Got it. Isn't that interesting? And now look at where I am today. You know, I think sometimes people use the words, you're a survivor, you're a hero, you're a warrior. And I'm going, That does not make any sense. We're not, what are we fighting against? You know, all we're here to do is experience. We're not here to hold those things up and see whose cup has more nails in it. You know what I mean? And I think we get stuck in that paradigm and we say, oh, but yours is bigger than mine, so, you know, you must be greater than or different than or whatever. And people use everybody's stories to validate their own against some kind of meter. Have you found that too?
I find it terribly distracting, but that's the humanness of us. But
yeah.
You know what? I love what you said, Dr. Jeanette, that, you know, because part of me is, you know, let's do breast cancer survivors, beware survivors, we're warriors.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's interesting that you said that because that's always jolted my energy body and my energy system.
Right.
Because I feel like we're all one and we're all connected. And your story in the physical world was a story, but your spirit was evolving if you were
right.
aligned with the evolution that was presented to you during that opportunity to move forward. And we're all survivors of something, if you want to say. We've all had trauma. We've all had tragedy. We can't be a human without something not going as planned. So it's like, yeah, it's not to hold the big banner of, look at me, I survived this.
Yes.
It's more important to set, this is who I am, and now these are the gifts I'm sharing with the world through what I have learned through my experiences. But not that they're any bigger, better, or worse than anybody else's.
Right.
And I find that they lack the ability to fully embrace the world around them when they focus in on the wound and the pain.
Yeah.
They can't see the joy. They can't see the blessings. Or they're there. And when I point out, but look at the blessings. Look at the, you know, we have to shift our programming in our minds to embrace the higher frequencies that are always available. One thing I tell people is, you know, we all have our little standard things that we say. When I do the work, I say, settle into where you are now and say, this breath is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Declare it. This breath is for me. And then choose the energy you want to invite in. All frequencies exist in the universe in every moment. You get to choose. Breathe in love, peace, or calm, and shift them. Just shift in. Even if it's only for a minute, I tell them you don't have to do this for an hour or 2 hours or drive anywhere. You've got this within your body to heal in every moment when you say, this breath is for me. And I have to tell you, there was a place at the end of the book where I lit a candle at St. Patrick's in New York for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I never did that. Years as a Catholic, lighting candles every time I went to a cathedral or a church. I always was praying for someone who needed it.
Right.
And I prayed for me. And it was a revelation to pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
And to breathe for me and to embrace my spirit in a different way. And for some reason, I don't think that's the way we've been raised in our culture, to honor ourselves and selflessly care for self first before we care for others.
Yeah, and what also, too, is that I always say that the soul journey is a soul journey, you know, S-O-L-E journey, because it truly is. You know, a lot of times people will say that, I'm going to pray for myself and I'm going to heal myself so that I can get on to do the work. Well, what is the work? Is it light, helping others to being in the place of light? Yourself is your work. That's it. When people are looking for purpose or mission or whatever it is just shine your light, period. There isn't any to-dos past that. The to-dos past that are how you engage in the world around you. But your real soul purpose is just to shine. It has nothing else. And I think sometimes people want to say, but I have to-do, and I have to fix, and I have to save, and I have to rescue. No, that's the human paradigm of the society that we're in right now. I think really, and I know these concepts are kind of very different for many to hear, but it's, I guess maybe because I don't see things as to do, to fix, to save and all that stuff. And it's been my path, I guess, maybe in a way. because I can see as if we're just presenting ourselves, just as we are in this moment, you and I having a conversation, we're just presenting, we're just here sharing from soul. We aren't here to make this big, great cosmic thing that the world's going to, you know, it's all going to line up behind us for the next 20 years to be able to get a piece of us. That is not what it's about. I think sometimes our soul journey, we forget. We think it's got to be something grand or great. When it's grand or great from the inside, it doesn't have to reflect on the outside. Yes?
Oh, my goodness. Beautifully, beautifully said, Dr. Jeanette. You know, I was even working with a mother this morning who's trying to help her child who is sick. And she goes, I got to fix him. I got to make him better. And I'm like, no, he is perfect. Exactly. He's a beautiful soul, the bright light. He's got, you know, health issues and cognitive issues. But, I mean, he's a beautiful, beautiful emanating light being on Earth. And he brought so much light to Earth.
Right.
To be here. And I said, no, he is perfect. He is perfect exactly the way he is.
Yes.
And you see that perfection in him raises the frequency that he feels from you. If
yes.
you feel he needs to be fixed, does that mean he's broken? And if
yeah.
you feel that and you think that and you act on it, you're sending that frequency to him. To heal him requires a higher frequency of love. And acceptance, and just to get that concept across to her was like a revelation. She like never thought of it that way.
Yes. You know, it's so interesting you said that, Kathy, because I had worked with, I had a woman that she had come in for some help, and she was looking exactly that, for a fix-it for her child with some mental health disabilities. And from the very first second, it was like, I got it in the first second what we needed to do, and I just kind of let it play out how it was going to play out. And she got very angry and very agitated and, you know, what's your problem? You don't know what your job is. You don't know how to do this. You don't know how to, and it was like, oh my gosh, okay, let's let this play out. And it came to the end, and I gave her a list of all the things that she wanted. And then, of course, you know, the old paradigm. Well, they come back and they say, well, this didn't fix it. You mustn't know. Or this didn't fix it. We have to try something else idea. And eventually it got to the point where I truly wanted to share with her exactly. I knew it, for me, I wanted it to be the last visit. And I said, you know what? I really feel that if you would just take a picture of your child and you have these 25-foot ceilings in this room, get a huge picture of your child on the mountain and another one in the swimming pool and another one over there of his beautiful face and make them like 10-foot big murals on the wall. I said, celebrate your child. And they could not
Absolutely.
Understand that. And they got so frustrated and so angry. However, it's 20 years later now, and that's what they're doing. They're not doing the same. They don't have the murals, but they feel now that they are celebrating their child. And isn't that what we're saying is celebrate that, you know?
Celebrate it and get out of the way of needing to understand why.
Right.
Needing to know why is such, I find that to be like an anchor for people. It just is. And when you accept what is, sometimes the reasons why, more information will just float to the surface when you get out of the way and you let the energy flow. And maybe you will never know because you're part of a greater universe. And there's so many factors that influence everything. And I work a lot with souls in transition, but also in birth.
Right.
That transition coming back into the entering the field again. And what souls are telling me is that the physical body, you know, human, not everything comes out right. Sometimes
right.
the heart is backwards, or sometimes there's all kinds of things that can happen because physical cells have to replicate in a way that produce a perfect human being. We call them, they're all perfect, but it's
right.
kind of like, it's just the way it is. It's not necessarily, there's a reason. The reason is
yeah.
physical cells reproduce and sometimes they don't get it right, you know, and sometimes there's more behind it. And sometimes I find it really isn't more behind it. It just is. Have you ever found that, or have you worked with souls?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know what, too, Kathy, is that I've noticed is that working a lot with clients with past life work, too, is that people say that, you know how when some people are really sick and they'll look at their family and friends and they'll say, but they're never sick a day in their life, you know? Well, maybe in this lifetime they were doing something else, but maybe in the other lifetime when it starts to come forward, they'll say, I must have been sick as a dog. Look at that, you know? So maybe we always think that we have to overcome it in this lifetime, but maybe we've overcome it in other lifetimes or other segments of it or other pieces of it. In other words, if we can look at our soul life as eons and we will say, oh, this is just a fragment of it, that really frees our ego up and our heart to be able to say, phew, man, take off that cloak. You know, I can let all that stuff just fall behind me now because I can see that this lifetime is not the only thing right. You know, that paradigm people are saying, if you don't get it right this time, you're not coming back. It's so disheartening when people say that stuff, you know, or why aren't you paying attention? You know, this is in the 100th lifetime. You got to know it. I think sometimes if we could just say, just experience, period. If you have two goals for your entire life is shine light and experience, that's it. Wouldn't we be so much easier? Beautiful. Wouldn't it be easier?
It would be freeing. It would be so freeing because so many people want to get it right, as though there is a right. There is no right because what your spirit and soul needs is what it needs.
Right.
It's not, right. You know, it's just aligning. For me, it's always working with the energy and how the energy is flowing and to collaborate with what's going on in the universe versus trying to resist it. And when we're fearful or we're angry about circumstances, that is really creates a resistance to the flow of energy that we really need to move through things.
Right.
It's hard to move through them when we resist. And people are angry that I'm sick, angry that I have this, angry. That anger actually changes the frequency in the physical body as well because we're all one. That frequency of anger lands in the physical body. There's no other place for it to go. And then we have to work on moving that through. So there's a lot of layers to it.
Don't you think, though, Kathy, too, sometimes if they are angry, they'll say, fantastic, let's feel it, let's get in the pool with it. Come on, I want to tell me what it's about. What color does it look like? What does it feel like? And they're like going on and on and on. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool, that is exciting. In other words, I don't take on their energy frequency, but I allow them to express it. But here's the biggest point, is once you're able to express it, then you will say, ah, cool. And you said, as you said about getting blocked, they're actually processing through it at that point. And then when anger shows up again, you say, oh, cool, I know you, friend. Come on, let's dance. And then you say, oh, you know what, I'm tired of this dance. And then you just don't dance with it anymore. So I think it's kind of cool if we can change our verbiage or change our perception of the dance and say, this too will evolve. Might that help us in eons?
Oh, my goodness. You know, one of the things that I like to use a lot is curiosity is the dance of the soul. So when I'm feeling this, to be curious about it, I have a young woman that I see weekly going through cancer treatments. And she's like, this week she says, oh, my stomach was a mess. She goes, but I just let it be a mess. And I just, you know, surrendered to it and I let it be a mess. And I'm like, but that was your body signaling to you that something was going on in your stomach that perhaps you could move into and move through versus ignoring it and stuffing away like it doesn't exist. It is there. And
right.
Not to resist it, but to go in it. Yes, it feels uncomfortable. How can I move the energy through it? What is it telling me? And move, be in it, like you said with the anger. Be angry, but it's moving. Anger isn't, it doesn't have to be an anchor, it's moving. And if you're curious about where is that coming from in me, mm-hmm. and dance with the universe through the curiosity of it and not resisting it is how I help people to kind of work through it, which is something similar to what you were saying, is
right.
you know, dance with it. And I love that you use dance, because I use that all the time, because it's like
right.
move through it. Dance to me is moving the body. It's moving the
mm-hmm.
energy through it. So I love that analogy.
And I think also, too, the point is at the end is that you're able to learn how to start to move energy. Let's talk about that for a little bit in closing. When we talk about moving energy, what does that really mean? You know, I had shared, you know, with you is that, you know, I was sitting down and all of a sudden I felt this like I was in a freezer and it really was hot. And I said, oh, someone's energy is moving around by me. I remember I was a few weeks ago, I'd gone to Trader Joe's and two women were talking and I needed to get the lettuce on the other side of them. And I kind of like stood there impatiently waiting. Finally, I just said, well, forget this. I'm going through. And I said, excuse me. And I kind of like went between them. Worst mistake ever, because they were still engaging in their dichotomy. And I went through and I got to like snag their energy. And then I had to leave the store. So I think the idea is, how can we be conscious of energies that are out there, the waves that are created by the collective, the other people, and also to how the energy waves of nature is out there, because there are a lot of waves playing out right now. And we say, am I going to go out and step in that and say, oh, that just didn't make me feel that great? And you say, oh, cool, you just experienced energy, tell me about it. Or you could say, I went out and I felt really good in that space. And say, okay, what does that space feel like? Define that energy and how can you find that in another place? Isn't it really about giving self-responsibility for people to start learning about energy and knowing how to shift it versus always having someone else do it for you?
Oh, my goodness, of course. Absolutely, Dr. Jeanette. The whole idea around the work that I do is not to do it for. It's not a passive experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can, the idea of moving energy through someone, I hold a higher frequency and move the higher frequency through, so the lower frequencies are kind of sloughed off, you know,
right.
by holding the higher. Because it's an energy law, high and low frequency can't be in the same space at the same time. And that unique frequency of light that you is always whole, perfect, and complete, right? So nothing can hurt that. What people are sensing is the energy in the field around their unique essence. And a lot of the work that I do is teaching people about setting healthy, energetic boundaries about people, places, and things, and psychic free radicals. Because when we hold ourselves in a higher frequency of thought, attitude, beliefs, then we can actually create a protective armor around us that kind of is a protective cushion, so we don't suck up all the energy around us. If we hold a lot of low vibrational thoughts and frequencies of fear and disappointment and shame, all of those kinds of things, that frequency actually attracts that frequency to our field. Because
mm-hmm.
like attracts like. So just learning the energy laws and knowing how to collaborate with the universe is something I teach all of the time. Because we can set our frequency within our field based on our thoughts, based on how we can move energy through our own bodies, through our intention, because we all know that our thoughts transform energy into physical matter, and that our thoughts and our beliefs really are the core influence that we have on our energy body and our physical body. So when we understand that we are powerful and that we can change the way we receive information in the world or the way we interpret it, it changes everything, because then we can be a witness to the field. We can be a witness to others. This is what I'm sensing. This is what I'm feeling versus
right.
reacting and responding in some way.
It
really changes. It can change everything about
you know
how
what?
You even flow through the day.
You know what I think, Kathy, right there for a second, a lot of people will say, but I don't understand that about the difference of reacting and being able to feel things. Because we say reacting is sort of like, let's say if you have a, well, I'll talk about myself. I've had headaches for my entire life. And it's my frequency mode of where I pick up frequencies. And there's times when I will feel it and it's sort of like it's really disabling in some areas. And I say, okay, In the past, I could say, I have a terrible headache, and people around me would say, oh, my God, she's got a headache again, da-da-da-da-da, you know? And it'd be like, and then eventually it's sort of like, no, I'm just telling you my head really hurts. And but then they could never conceive that maybe it was the place we were in. Maybe it was something else going on, or maybe I was picking up something. They couldn't understand that. However, they just relate it as, oh, she's got a headache again, that's an issue. So I think truly that's the idea of seeing how you can use it as, don't cast a victim on me, but they were feeling that it was a victim kind of thing, when in essence, as you start awakening to these prospects and you're using words that might be overlapping paradigms, so to speak, in other words, it might be the old words, but it's kind of like you're trying to express it in a new way. I think that's where a lot of the confusion, it's almost like a dissonance right now, and I think that's what we're feeling is that dissonance. It's like, how do I get off that stuff, but how do I still have the same feelings, but how do I express it differently? Isn't that truly where in the year 2020 we're saying, I'm feeling dissonance, but I know it's coming, so we're going to keep dissoning, you know, until we can get to it, yes?
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, I actually find that, I would say, fun. And let's figure this out. What are you feeling? What are you sensing? And just sit with it and just be with it. And people are surprised when they reflect, because what I mean by reacting is that it doesn't actually go through the system and the body or the mind or emotion responds without having filtered it in any way through the energy system to kind of understand what was happening. The reaction comes so quickly. And I spend a great deal of my time relanguaging how people express what's going on, because the way they express it, the thoughts and the words all have a frequency as well. So what frequencies are coming from within their own mechanisms and thought processes versus the external world? And sometimes it surprises them to see that, oh, well, if I had a different perception to begin with, then I wouldn't have reacted like that. You know, I would have seen it differently. So slowing down, which in this fast-paced world of technology, people really don't want to slow down, but it almost requires a different speed until you've really heightened your intuition where you can trust it and it's right there. People say to me, how do you can speak to a soul? How do you speak to a deceased loved one? How do you? I'm like, well, it's a switch I flip now. I can open and close. Mm-hmm. And it kind of is like that with my intuition. And I think the more people settle in and reflect on their own responses to the world around them, understand themselves so that they're clear about how they perceive the world, actually becomes the default state where they're then able to see the world from a new perspective, a new paradigm versus the old one. And that's a shift that's going to take time.
And also, too, to remember that those people around you might still be ingrained in the old aspects. And when you show up with your new language, they might not understand it. But it's to be kind and compassionate and have unconditional love, which we've been talking for the past 10, 15 years about learning. Once you start learning that, you start to also understand that they don't quite get it yet, and they might need a little bit gentle help also. That's where you, quote, do the two things, shine your light and experience, because then you're able to be able to, everybody will start understanding. And those that aren't ready, they're not ready, they may just fall away for a time and they may come back at another time, yes?
Absolutely. Do you feel like the energy of the earth is rising? Do you feel the frequency is shifting in earth itself, in the earth star?
You know, it's funny. I had said probably about maybe about 5 or 6 years ago on this show, I had someone on and say, it's time to ground yourself to Earth's frequencies. And I said, oh, no way. Uh-uh. And the person got really mad. And I said, I am not grounding myself to their frequency because the Earth is rising and I'm rising too. we're both at a different frequency or a compatible one, and I'm going to still keep floating. In other words, do you want to, you know, go down and tag onto a lower one just to bring them up? Our job, don't forget, is not to fix or to save any, but it's all to shine the light. So if we do that, the Earth's coming up just as we are coming up. And it's not about who is at what level anymore. It's just about being present. Don't you think that when the Earth, as it's rising and shifting and changing, we can start seeing things like earthquakes or hurricanes or droughts or mine collapses or fires? We can see all of these as just the Earth's surface just rippling to evolve. Do you also see that?
I do. I think it's fascinating. I love the way you described it, though, because it works in the physical reality of how people perceive the Earth, although it is mm-hmm. an energetic shift that's happening. And I feel like the energy is rising, and mm-hmm. the people that are not able to rise with it, they're missing out on this wonderful point of evolution for their spirit and their light mm-hmm. to shine more, because it's available to them if they would just have a process to be able to absorb it and see it and align with it, I guess.
Right.
I love your description. I think, can I use that? I'll tell people how that works.
Sure.
That was great.
I'd be happy to say, Dr. Jeanette said. Yeah. Well, you know what also, too, I think in closing, Kathy, is also, too, that there is going to be a split of the new Earth and the other Earth. So to also understand that we think that there's always this one place. Well, if you really look at it, it's almost like I liken it to we're sending people to Mars to say we want to see about human life on Mars. And I'm going, what are you talking about? The human existence is the human existence in a space and time. The human existence in a space and time doesn't go to another planet. You know what I mean? So it blows my mind. I can't even put it in words how that just does not resonate. And you know, if we truly look at that, then we're really saying is that just to understand that some may be in some space, some may be in another space, and some may be in a different altered space. And it's almost if you could throw glitter up in the air and just see how it trinkles and lights and just see each other as that. That's it. Simple. Simple. You know, that's it. Right?
It is simple. I guess it's just not always easy.
Right. Yeah. You can let all those Girl Scout badges fall to the ground. You don't need to collect your accomplishments. Right.
That's right. We don't always need the gold star on the paper.
I'm telling you. Well, Kathy, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today because I think in the year 2020, many people are going to be starting to be hitting some walls, imploding, and maybe throwing their glitter up too. And you and I are definitely right on the forefront, and we're happy to help anyone that will reach it out. Yes?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
So the best way, really, is to go to my website, which is kathypickett.com, KathiPickett. And my book, Unbecoming You, is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And my website has, you know, blogs, a newsletter. You can sign up and be part of the community that I'm building of like-minded people who are on this journey together. So I have to thank you so much for having me today. It was such a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Jeanette. I really enjoyed our talk.
Oh, you as well. I think sometimes when we share this real esoteric, I call it, kind of conversation, I think it's really saying we're sharing the new language. We're sharing our lightness. We're sharing our just joy in the experience, irregardless of, yes, okay, my knee is still killing me today and I've had a headache for 5 days, but that's okay, you know? And I think the idea is that everything is just happening so, in other words, all of the cogs in the wheel are just doing just fine, yes?
Oh, absolutely. We're all on a journey.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you again, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks. If you'd like to find out more information about Kathy Pickett, again, her book is On Becoming You. You are a powerful being of light. All is within you. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information, and you go directly to her website. And it truly is about saying, you know what, I don't know any of this. I know all of this. I want to enjoy the dance. How can I get my shoes on and get started? Reach out. Kathy and I are both here to be able to help walk you through the process, to be able to help you dance with what's going on in life. And definitely, I always share, my first session is complimentary. It's all about having you a safe place for all of your fears, your worries, and your pains to have a soft place to land. Please do reach out, send me an email, go to my website, click on the link, contact us, and I'll talk to you then. Have a great day.
Today we discuss many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.